It's the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. The most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
And opinions and ideas that prepare you to tackle the day ahead.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
It's the AmeriChicks. Dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation.
Indeed.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
It is hump day. So welcome. We're going to have a conversation today. I am Kim Munson and thrilled to have in studio with me Susan Kochevar with 88 Drive-In Theater. She is an entrepreneur and author. It's great to have you here, Susan.
Good morning.
We've got a great show planned. Segment two, we'll be talking with Curtis DeGroot. He is with Freedom to Drive Coalition. And Susan, the ability, the opportunity for people to move about is really inherent in the American idea. And we're seeing an assault on the personal vehicle here in Colorado. And actually, you like personal vehicles since you have a drive-in theater. People like their personal vehicles to go to the drive-in, right?
That's right. Personal vehicle means freedom.
You got it. And then segment three and four, we're going to be talking about an issue that is on your heart, and that is data collection that the government, both at local, county, state and federal government institutions are actually watching us, and you're really concerned about that as well.
Mm-hmm. AI has a terrible effect on us.
So we're going to be talking about those important things, bringing those forth, and we do dissect these issues as right versus wrong. Instead of right versus left, agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. First and foremost, we want to remember that ultimately socialism is force. All of these questions, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or freedom via force, whether with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. And so as we look at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom, and you know what, Americans, by and large, they like freedom. I want to say thank you to the team, Steve, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, thank you for all your good work to keep this train on the track. And to all you listeners out there, thank you. You are treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose today, and thank you for listening. And so we're going to jump in here. And first thing is our inspiration for the day. I went to Albert Einstein. I asked one of my favorite millennials, who inspires you? And he said, Albert Einstein. And I thought, okay, we'll go with that. And so Einstein said, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. There was another quote I remember. I don't know who said it. I think maybe it was John Elway. But that as a quarterback, you got to keep your feet moving. And so you always have to be moving and always trying to improve, striving for excellence. And so Albert Einstein, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. Steve, did you look like you had a comment that you wanted to say on that?
Well, you know, your producer has a twisted mind. When you welcome Susan here and her title, her business, and then start talking about mobility, the first thing I pictured was an RTD. Having been at the 88 drive-in now and spent some time there, my first picture in my mind was an RTD stop right there on right next to the 88 drive-in.
Oh.
When you said, you know, you're dependent on people's mobility, it's like, well, sooner or later, there has to be a light rail stop by the 88 drive-in.
Interestingly, there is no stop anywhere near there. And I had kids who wanted to work for me. They lived in Boulder, and they were in a halfway house there, needed a job badly. For them to take the RTD to my place took 3 hours, and then they couldn't get back home.
Okay.
It's not useful.
Enough said. Move on.
Yeah. Well, and to that point, actually, all of these things, and we'll talk with Curtis about this, that are trying to move people out of their vehicles, it actually hurts the people that are wanting to move up the economic ladder the most.
It does.
And so we'll talk about that. We've got a lot to do in this first segment. Our joke for today, though, since we're going to be talking about surveillance, I was trying to find a surveillance joke. So, Steve.
Yes.
Who are the greatest philosophers today?
I'm sure you're going to tell us.
Yes, it's the TSA. They're always asking people, who are you? Where did you come from? Why are you here, and where are you going?
we're obviously not paying them enough.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, first thing, we have two things I want to hit on. First thing is the three R's, and it's not reading, writing, and arithmetic. It is the radical progressive left has been going after Donald Trump on the three R's, and Laura Ingraham really nailed this. So if you'd hit that soundbite, Steve, that would be just great.
Now, for 2 years, we all had to endure the Democrats' Russian obsession. Formerly sensible liberals had convinced themselves the president was working hand in glove with Putin to ensure Trump's 2016 election. Well, Trump's reckoning, they were confident, would be delivered by the highly respected prosecutor Bob Mueller. In other words, the 2020 election would be a gimme for any Democrat. Well, of course, that fell flat. So the crestfallen Democrats decided to go all in on the race issue. Using bogus charges of racism, the left has a goal of blunting any momentum the president may have with minority voters in 2020. Now, the president condemned white nationalists, remember, at Charlottesville, and he did so after El Paso. But to listen to the left, well, he has a goal of what? Doing what? Like running around with blackface and lighting crosses on people's lawns? The new Democrat playbook requires the relentless demonization of American history, including the founders, and now the American people themselves, at least those who support Trump. Now, again, the Democrats staked it all on the two R's. Russia fell flat, and then racism. And now, the third R, recession. Oh, yeah, it's official. The post-2016 Democrat Party and their media allies are now actively cheering for one.
Susan, I find this absolutely astounding that now we're working into this recession narrative. And that can start to work on people's emotions and can start to slow down the economy. Mm-hmm. And it seems that we would want the people that we elect, that they would want the best for everyday American people. But when you have the media and politicians that are rooting for a recession that would hurt everyday people because they want to defeat Donald Trump, I think that's very telling about the character of these media pundits, as well as these politicians, bureaucrats, and all these interested parties.
Yeah, I think it's sick. Bill Maher the other day said, he'd be happy to see a recession hurt some people, but oh well. Really?
You know, and they're sitting in their comfy offices, in their beautiful homes. Mm-hmm. There are many times they have security guards with weapons to protect them, with firearms to protect them. But yet they're the same people that are out there actively trying to use laws, to red flag laws, to take away the weapons of everyday people without due process. Mm-hmm. And you know, so this is the three R's. I actually saw another one of my favorite millennials last week, and he was talking about the inverted yield curve and recession. And I'm like, I don't think there's going to be a recession. I think that what this is a narrative that is trying to slow down the economy. And so Laura Ingraham, she always seems to just really nail it. And so that's the three R's. It is Russia. That didn't work. Racism. You know, these economic policies that have been really good have not just been helping white people.
Right.
It's been helping all people, no matter what the descriptor is. And when Donald Trump looks into the camera and he says, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of truth in that, Susan.
Well, and a lot of this stuff has done a lot of damage to the culture. A little reluctant to talk about it, but when people now get upset about anything, they call you racist. No matter what it is, no matter what they've done, the other person is racist. They throw a fit. Everybody's racist. It's really getting old. And that word is completely lost its meaning.
Well, and I think that people that look at another person as a group and define them as a group, I think that is racist. We had been, I think, making great progress in this whole racial question in America, and it seems like once Barack Obama got into office, he started to play the race card and try to divide us. And we need to come back and we need to unify. Yesterday we had a quote from Lee Iacocca, you know, who was the chairman of Chrysler, and back in 1984 he said, whether or not it's Democrat or Republican, we need to come together. And he said, to make America great again. Steve and I almost fell off our chairs when we saw that. It was back in 1984 when Lee Iacocca said that. And so bear in mind, Russia didn't work, and they spent 2 years, and I think they knew nothing, that there was nothing there. Bob Mueller knew that there was nothing there, and they just dragged that out, and it was millions and millions of our dollars that they used on that. And if there had been any shred of truth on that, they would have been all over that.
For sure.
And then this whole racism, this just is unbelievable to me that everybody is a racist.
It's interesting because, you know, anytime we have to tell somebody something and they don't like it, they call my kids racist, which is the kids that work for me. And I hire everybody. And we are, the kids are really struggling with this idea because most of them are all mixed race.
And so it's...
So they're... just looking at these people like, what planet did you come from?
And that's exactly true.
So I'm interested to see what happens with these, you know, 16, 17, 18 year olds as they grow up, because they clearly see this is a fallacy.
It is a fallacy. And now you have, again, trying to get us to the third R, and that is recession. And so we need to continue to stay the course here. And, you know, reduce rules, regulations, and all those things, which will continue to, you know, and get the economy going. President Trump apparently is kicking around the idea of trying to figure out how to lower some payroll taxes, which I know that you would love. And once again, I think that that would really be good for the economy, because everyday people would have more money in their pocket.
More money in their pocket. Absolutely. It helps the working people, and they, you know, keeps them from being slaves. It's fantastic. Some of the other things he's doing in terms of reducing regulations, you know, we talked about reducing or getting rid of that structuring, you know, so you don't have to be fearful of taking money to the bank and having the IRS seize your assets. Also, some reducing restrictions. What did I see the other day on dishwashers or some other great manufacturing thing? These things are going to have trickle down and have huge impact on the economy in such a positive way. And it's all kind of going unseen or unnoticed by the left, and they're powerless to stop it. I know the president said he was going to stop hiring, put a freeze on hiring the enforcers in all these various departments, you know, the people that go out and look at the businesses and see if they're complying. That's great.
That's really terrific. One other thing before we get to Curtis DeGroot in the next segment, something huge happened, and that is there's this it's called Title X funding, and it is funding from the federal government that has been going to, quote unquote, family planning different institutions. And it just happened that Planned Parenthood received a significant amount of that money. I think it was over $236 million that's been going into this Title X funding. And of course, Planned Parenthood, their budget is at about $500 million. But a lot of that money does come from the federal government, quote unquote, for family planning. And President Trump had come out and he had said that any organization that receives Title X family planning money cannot refer women to a specific an abortion, a place to have an abortion. Apparently, they can talk about abortion, but they can't refer them. Well, this is shedding light. The onion is being peeled back. That Planned Parenthood has hidden behind that we do family planning. But actually, I think money is fungible, and, you know, their business is really the abortion business. And as we've started to really understand what that business is, it's pretty cruel. And the fact that there's even what's called partial birth abortions, I mean, the baby is almost born. And of course, Ralph Northam, the governor back in Virginia, said that they might even deliver a baby and decide what to do. So just from a moral standpoint, a virtuous society standpoint, we can't be doing that. And that's what one of the things I said, the first thing we got to do is get the money out of this. And, you know, what people do on an individual basis, you know, that, you know, we, I think we need to wrap our arms around a woman who is in a difficult situation and not judge, and certainly come to her with love, with Christian love. However, we have to make the case for life. But when you have a society that is actually using government money to abort a complete generation. That's not a good thing. So President Trump came out, he put a line in the sand. He said, if in fact you're going to be referring to people to have an abortion to a specific place, then you can no longer get this money. And they said, and then you need to let us know by a certain date what you're going to do about it. And I think the date was just the other day. And Planned Parenthood, they came out and they said, we're not going to take that money. So the light is being shown on what they really are all about. It's not family planning. It's actually the abortion business. And three cheers to President Trump for this. I think it's really important.
Yeah, no matter how you feel about abortion, the government should not fund that. And I don't think that, we're against government funding stuff anyway.
Right.
But bare minimum should not fund that. That's tax money should not be used.
Absolutely. So this is a really big deal. But let's go to break. We're going to talk with Curtis DeGroote when we come back. He's with Freedom to Drive and mobility. The ability for people to be able to move around is critical. And it seems like the politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, the PBIs right here in Colorado, want to get you out of your car. So we'll be right back.
Looking for an awesome place to host your draft party? Look no further than Hooters. With tons of TVs, free Wi-Fi, world-famous wings, and ice-cold beer, you're probably thinking, it doesn't get any better than that. But wait, at Hooters, it does. Every fantasy league gets a free draft kit and over $200 in Hooters swag. Join us for fantasy football done Hooters style. Book now at Hooters.com/football. That's Hooters.com/football. See you at Hooters.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
All AmeriChicks sponsors are an exclusive partnership with the AmeriChicks and are not affiliated or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson and grow your business, contact Kim at AmeriChicks.com. That's AmeriChicks.com.
Hey, welcome back. I am Kim Munson, and we are having a conversation. We are dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree. We're going to have a conversation right now with Curtis DeGroote. He is the chairman of the Freedom to Drive Coalition. Curtis, welcome.
Thanks for having me on, Kim. Good morning.
Good morning. And we've got Susan Kochevar in studio as well. And we wanted to talk about this piece that you had in the Complete Colorado. It's on their page 2. Would recommend people go to Complete Colorado. And if you click on the banner at the top, you'll get all this original content. And this was a piece you did within the last week or so. You said Coloradans are in for a rude awakening on the California car mandates. And Curtis, you and I both think it's really important that people have the opportunity to be able to drive around in the vehicle of their choice instead of PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties deciding how we move about. But tell us about this piece. You said that millions of Coloradans are going to be waking up one day soon to quite a shock.
Yeah, so there's it's interesting. I talk all around Colorado when I speak with folks who just didn't know anything about this. This started under former Governor Luke Hickenlooper, who signed on his way out of office in an executive order. And that was to get us to actually yield to the California Air Quality Board our air quality regulations here. And so what people can look for, and of course Jared Polis has upheld this now, and they're, for lack of a better term, shoving it down the state's throat. And so yet again, the people are not represented in by vote of anything that's going on in the government. So what we're looking forward to is the fact that, all the vehicles are going to, we anticipate somewhere between $1,500 and $3,000 increase in cost. And there's a domino effect that comes with that, too, for the low to middle income people who depend on some of the cars that are traded in. by, you know, some of the people that can actually afford these cars. What we see in Colorado is that most of the electric vehicle owners, these are second cars. They're not their primary vehicle. And, you know, and in Colorado, we're 75% truck and SUV because our area here is deemed necessary for that type of vehicle versus California, which is about 50%. So it's not going to be good for Colorado, that I can tell you.
Well, Susan had just mentioned about some young people that were in Boulder. Why don't you, I don't know if you heard that, Curtis, go ahead and retell that story.
Yeah, I had some young people that were in Boulder and they were in a halfway house and those folks really needed to work and they wanted to come to work for me. But in order for them to take RTD to work, they had to go, you know, down to Denver and take this really weird path. It took them 3 hours to get to work and there's no way to get home. I mean, it just, these things really hurt poor people and young people.
It really does. It absolutely does. And you know, when we look at this as from a holistic approach, I think, you know, it's not unlike what we saw with, like, our national popular vote and things where these things are just being pushed down from the state. For some reason, they think they know better than us. You know, I guess my question to pose to the community in Colorado is if clean air was such a big deal, why did Jared Polis, you know, take the waiver and not allow us to count the California forest fires towards our not clean air last year or this year? So, you know, we are very much standing on the fact that everybody wants clean air. Everybody in Colorado wants clean air. I haven't found anyone yet that doesn't want clean air. And we've done so much to work towards that clean air. The answer is not the government telling us, hey, I realize that you've got a tool belt and air compressor and all these things to take to your job, but you're going to have to drive an electric car to do that. And by the way, if your job is let's say your job's up in Fairplay, and there's 100 other electric cars up there, you're not going to be home till 9 o'clock tonight because you guys have to stand in line at the I don't even know if they have a charging station up there. I'm told they don't, but let's say they put one in. That's part of infrastructure. Now it's not like just going up to the gas pump and filling up. I mean, you're talking about, you know, coal power driving these charging stations from the first point of view. And then secondly, you're going to waiting, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours just to charge your car because there's lines of other people doing that. So we haven't even talked about what that's going to look like.
Right. And so, Curtis, with these mandates, what they're doing is they want to push people into more electric cars here in Colorado. And when I open the show, I'm always open it with, we need to take a look at these issues as freedom versus force or force versus freedom. And ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And so we're seeing this socialization in our transportation sector because these PBIs, these politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties want everyday people to be either into these more expensive electric cars. Ultimately, I think that they want to push a lot of people onto buses, trains, and bicycles. And so the whole theme in this whole thing, Curtis, is force. And I think that you just alluded to something regarding the waiver. So Colorado could have had a waiver on the EPA, I think it is. They test the particles in the air and determine if you're in compliance or not. And, I mean, that whole thing is somewhat suspect because it depends on where they have the testing stations. And I think there's only 3 in Colorado. And then you get up right next to the mountains and, you know, air does kind of, you know, push up there. And then you mentioned with the forest fires from Colorado or from California, that affected our air. We could actually see that. And we could have gotten a waiver for that from the federal government. And Governor Polis said, no, we don't want a waiver. And the reason is so that they can force this issue. And whenever you're looking at forcing an issue, I see big danger. So, Curtis, what's your final thought on your excellent piece that's in Complete Colorado? Coloradans are in for a rude awakening on California car mandates.
Well, I would just say this. People in Colorado, they're obviously, we all need to pay attention, right? And we all have busy lives. Every one of us have busy lives. But, you know, when you talk about the waiver, that accounted, from what I'm told, for $47 million in our highway funding from the federal government last year. So we didn't take it. So I don't know what we're going to lose. I don't have those numbers. But if Coloradans don't fight back on this, you know, and I will tell you, and this, I'll part with this, during the Clean Air Air Board hearing, when people were testifying, Polis's people testified that they had this grand vision of 1 million vehicles, electric vehicles, on the road by 2030, 10 years from now. So we've been at this now for 7 years in the state of Colorado of electric cars, and we have 13,500 true electric cars, and then, of course, another 7,000 hybrids. But 13,000 wow. in 7 years, and now they want to get to 1 million. And first of all, there's no OEM that even has that level of production. But that's where they're thinking, without doing any kind of analysis that's rooted in any kind of facts. So thanks for having me on, by the way.
Well, it's great to have you. And Curtis, I did go down last Tuesday night. I went during the public hearing. The public, my understanding was, could make comments last Tuesday, because this whole thing just is coming down now. And public comments would have been from 12 to 3 on Tuesday, and then from 6 to 8 on Tuesday night. I had a really busy day. I got there at 7:15, and they actually had left. And so they didn't stay for the time that they said that there was going to be public comment. And it hurt my feelings. You know what? I was offended, Curtis.
Of course you were.
Curtis Groot, thank you so much. And again, that important piece is in Complete Colorado. And just click on the banner at the top, and that'll take you to all that original content. So greatly appreciate it, Curtis.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks so much. And Jason McBride. I was just wondering, are you going to be driving your vehicle of choice to work today, or are you going to be riding on a bicycle?
Well, that would be quite a haul for me to ride on a bicycle, so I think I'll go ahead and drive my pick-em-up truck.
Okay. Well, I kind of thought that you might like your vehicle of choice, and I think that's pretty darn important. So what is going on in the markets, though? It's just been crazy. And of course, we hear this recession talk. We led with Laura Ingraham, the three R's that the radical progressives have been going after Trump on, and that was Russia and racism and now recession. And so what's your thoughts?
Well, I don't think that the third R is going to work any better than the first two did for them. I just don't see any sign of a recession coming. And, yesterday we had a little bit of a down day in the market. This morning it looks like we're going to recover almost all of that right at the open. But, boy, Trump's always got something going. He was talking about buying Greenland, which is quite interesting. I haven't even had time to look into what the thinking on that would be. And, you know, people think it's a joke. I think he was serious. I think he saw a good reason maybe to do that. Yesterday, and again, I apologize, Kim, I didn't get time to read up on all the details of the thinking. He's talking about cutting taxes further by reducing the payroll tax
somehow.
And I'm not sure about the details on that, so I can't comment whether, I like the way it sounds or not. But it's just interesting. He's always got, seems to have another idea coming out of somewhere. And when's the last time you saw a president that seemed to have a new idea every day?
But I was thinking about it. I have a new name for Trump on this one. It's the new Greenland deal. What do you think on that one?
Oh, I think that the Greenland new deal,
yeah,
I
the
like
Greenland
that better than the other one.
And did you see there was a meme, Jason, and it had Greenland, and, you know, there's all these little, you know, quaint houses. And I think Trump tweeted this. And then there's like this big, like gold tower, like the Trump Tower. And he says, "I promise I won't do this to Greenland." And I'm like,
I did. I saw that one. That was like, pretty funny.
Oh, my gosh. So, hey, before we go, though, I am so excited about this event that you and I are doing together, Nuts and Bolts. It's going to be September 16th over at Water's Edge Winery. And, of course, it's so great to partner with Jen Hewlin over at Water's Edge Winery. We do that with Vino and Veritas. I've done other things. This is going to be really cool. You're bringing in the guy that's written the Stock Traders Almanac, and everybody that attends, and it's going to be limited, but everybody's going to get one of those, right?
Well, yeah, we'll give everybody that comes a copy of the book, which is great. I think the more fun part will be you and I and Jeff kind of going through some of the fun and interesting, kind of repeating things that happen in the market and maybe why that is. But, you know, Kim, it's not just all for fun. I think there's things people will learn here. And I've always believed that any little thing you can do to get an edge, just a little bit more knowledge about maybe when to kind of know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Hopefully Kenny Rogers won't sue us. It can really help you. Just little tiny things that you do a little bit better can make a big difference over the long run. Jeff's also, he's a funny guy, good personality. You know, he's been all over Fox and Bloomberg and CNBC, so he's not a brand new guy. He knows some stuff. And, yeah, I think it'll be a good time, a fun evening. And, again, this might be a threat, but you may actually learn something.
Well, I think that we will, and I'm looking forward to that. It's September 16th, and folks can go to my website to sign up for Nuts and Bolts, or they can go to our landing page at chickspresidential.com, chickspresidential.com, or they can probably call Natalie after 7:30, right?
Sure, yeah, there's all kinds of ways to do it. Two websites, phone call. If you want to come, we'll make sure that we get you in. But I would imagine this is going to fill up pretty quick since we just kind of let it out of the bag yesterday.
Right, and we already have significant reservations for that. So if you are interested, I would recommend that you sign up. And so either go to my website, AmeriChicks.com, go to ChicksPresidential.com, or that number at 7:30. Natalie will be there. It's 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, we will talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. When we come back, Susan Kochevar is in studio here, and we're going to talk about data. And what really got you going on this was this Wall Street Journal piece says a dearth of data helped Hong Kong succeed. Mm-hmm. And so as an entrepreneur, owner of a small business, I can't wait to get your perspective on this. So we'll be right back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For over 30 years, entrepreneur, stylist, and AmeriChick Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game and freshen your look, email Kim at AmeriChicks.com for your initial style consult. Kim at AmeriChicks.com.
The Zac Brown Band. I love them. I think they're awesome. Thank you, Charlie, for putting all that together. And welcome back. I'm Kim Munson. We are dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree. Let's have a conversation. And Susan Kochevar is in studio, owner of the 88 Drive-In Theater. Before we jump in on that, Bob from Michigan said, and you're going to love this, he said, the dirty little secret, he texted me, lower payroll taxes means revenue to the government will grow. So a little laffer curve there for you.
He's right about that. Absolutely.
He's absolutely right.
And businesses take in more money and pay more sales tax and on and on. Absolutely.
So, yes, as the economy, as the pie gets bigger, and that's the problem with the regressive radical politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, they believe that the pie is finite. They don't understand that the creativity of the mind, what can happen, so the pie can get bigger and bigger in a free society. And when the pie gets bigger, the revenues go up.
Right, lifts all boats. So their only answer is raising taxes. The Denver City Council now, they have their first outed socialist, and their answer to everything is tons of taxes. Congress, the Democrats, everything is always, let's raise taxes.
And, you know, the other thing that they don't take into account, I think that they think the economy is static. So we have, you know, business person out here, they're, you know, doing this kind of a business, and if we raise taxes, government's going to get more, you know, more revenue from that. But people have to make adjustments.
They do.
So if they raise taxes like the payroll tax, you have to make adjustments on maybe how many people you hire, you know, maybe how many hours people work. I hope it's okay to tell this. But, you know, we came out to 88 Drive-In Theater last week. And actually, Steve and Patty and I thought we were going to need to work more. But you have such a team of great young people. But when we drove up, we met you. You are the owner. And you were coming out of the ladies' room with a bucket and a brush.
Yep.
Cleaning the ladies' room. And it was spick and span. And it just made me laugh a little bit because, you know, that's what you do sometimes when you're the owner. But that's also something that happens with small businesses, is that when these fees and taxes go up, you end up maybe not hiring somebody to do a job that would make your life easier. You end up working more.
Yeah, I end up working more, and I end up figuring out ways to not need so many employees. We made some changes this year so I wouldn't have to hire so many because we are facing minimum wage. And I have a few plans next year.
Forced minimum wage.
Forced minimum wage, yes. And next year it goes up another 90 cents. So I'm making more plans to put some customer service things in so customers can serve themselves instead of having so much staff.
But you love your staff, and you teach your staff.
I do love them.
But government is forcing you, because of their force, to have to make some choices. But let's go to this piece about data. I hadn't really thought so much about data. And the question at the beginning of the article, Wall Street Journal, and it was written, let's see,
somebody from India.
Yeah. The lead is, more data makes for better economic policy, right? Lessons from 20th century India and Hong Kong suggest the opposite is true. And this really resonated with you, Susan.
It did. You know, I remember years ago listening to, I think it was a debate about the census and certain questions. And I always thought kind of in the back of my mind, you know, we collect all this data. It takes a lot of time. And if you don't do it correctly, the government will punish you, actually, for not collecting the data properly and sending all this stuff in. We can collect all this stuff, but should we? Is that really a good idea? I don't think so. But I couldn't really articulate why exactly. And so I just sort of, that was always just back there. And then I read this article and I nearly fell off my chair. Somebody else had the same idea. And this particular fellow was, you know, Hong Kong used to be a territory of Great Britain. And this person, very long name, Sir John Cowperthwaite, I think I'm saying that correctly. He ran Hong Kong from 1961 to 1971, it looks like. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he did was he said, the government is not going to collect any data, because as soon as they start collecting that data, they start thinking they can control things, and they can't. We know government cannot control the market. And yes, that's exactly the problem. And so we were just talking about air quality control a minute ago. And what happened to the data that the government collected? It started manipulating the data itself for a certain outcome, saying, oh, well, we're not going to count the fires as pollution, or discount that, however that worked, for their own goals. And that's exactly what happens.
You know, that is so key, what you just said, is they take data and they use data, the data they want. They discount the data they don't want so that they can get to an outcome that they can force upon everyday people. And who are the voices for everyday people? You know, you and I have both gone down to the State House. You've actually stepped up to run for State House, and bless you. Thank you so much for doing that. But we go down there, and it can take hours.
Mm-hmm.
You take time away from your work. It takes time to actually learn these issues. And then there can be strategies. If, in fact, for example, I went down for the forced vaccination bill,
mm-hmm.
and Lois Cort, I think, was she's the Democrat that was chair of that committee, then she could manipulate who could talk and who couldn't. So there were 500 people that had signed up to testify against mm-hmm. forced vaccinations, and there were only 30 that had signed up in favor of that, and many of them were industry experts. So they're being paid
yes.
somehow to be there. The everyday person isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you can see how they can manipulate the hearing so that, and so what happened? She said that, okay, we only have a certain amount of time, so this side gets an hour, 2 hours, and this side gets 2 hours. And they're like, wait a minute, we have a whole bunch more people that want to speak.
Yeah.
But you can see how that can be manipulated.
Oh, I manipulated terribly. That's one of the reasons why Leroy Garcia, whose district is down in Pueblo, is they're considering recalling him because we had a terrible snowstorm, and he went ahead and rammed bills through that day, even though half the legislature and certainly none of the citizens could get down to the Capitol to testify. Or even during some of the gun bills we've seen where they hold testimony at night, clear till, you know, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. People have families, they have lives, and there are so many bills that get passed through that legislature. You can't possibly pay attention to all of them, even though they affect everyone dramatically.
And I actually think it's by design. You're seeing these bills that are, they appear very complicated, and there may be not just one on that issue, but then others. You may fight this one, but another one may come in the back door. Which I think this kind of brings us back to data. I could even mention regarding the forced vaccination bill. There was a whole bunch of data collection on that, mm-hmm. on families and children. And you know what? Let's go to break, and we'll see if I want to talk a little bit about due process then. Do you think, I think that it actually is related to data as well.
Sure.
Okay, so we'll go to break. This is Kim Munson. Susan Kochevar, owner of the 88 Drive-In Theater, is in studio, and we'll be right back.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson with the Americhicks at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson with the Americhicks would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Greenwood Village, Tina Francone with Straightforward Shooting, and Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at Americhicks.com.
Come join the 88 Drive-In for all your favorite blockbuster movies. We're open 7 days a week. Admission is only $9 per person, and children under 12 are free. Friday, August 16th through Thursday, August 22nd, features will include Angry Birds 2, The Lion King, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And remember our popular Monday through Thursday pizza special. Get one 12-inch pizza served fresh and hot from our oven and two tall, cool 16-ounce sodas, all for only $12. Plus, now you can top it all off with our new sweet, crunchy churros and a steaming cup of hot chocolate. For more information, go to our Facebook page or visit our website at 88drivein.net.
You get more out of life when you go out to a movie.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Americhicks.com.
How come all the pretty girls like you are taken?
Hey, welcome back. I'm Kim Munson. We are dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left, agree or disagree. Let's have a conversation, and just really jazzed to have Susan Kochevar in studio with me. She's the owner of the 88 Drive-In Theater, and we got to go out last week. We thought we were going to have to work. We didn't really have to work, but it was really great to meet all the kids and see your clients. It was really fun. And Steve, I know you were ready to work. Well, you thought you were going to supervise is what you thought.
I had my apron, if you saw.
I did. I did see that. Mm. But we're talking about data, and you had an interesting insight during break. What is that, Steve?
Well, you guys were talking about, you know, the data that is collected and then how it can be used against, you know, for and against. And I'm just thinking one of the most, you know, in-your-face examples of that is modern-day polling. Well, polls say this, or we see that the top four candidates, Democratic candidates, can beat Trump, according to our polling, and that's all they say. We don't tell you where the polls are taken. Mm-hmm. We don't tell you anything else about it. We just want to put that little ditty out there to put a seed in your mind. Oh, okay, well, you know, well, the polls say. It's like, that's baloney.
Well, a lot of it is. And I'd mentioned due process, and I think that would be going down a different path than what we really want to make sure that we hit. And in this piece in the Wall Street Journal, we'll do that a different day, okay? the author says, without data, busybody bureaucrats had no way of justifying interference in the economy. And you wanted to compare Hong Kong and India.
Yeah, so what happened in India, their first prime minister saw the Soviet Union and all these other communist, fascist, socialist countries collecting all this data, and he thought that was such a great idea. And so they started collecting so much data that they absolutely ground everything to a halt in India. And India is not prosperous. It's very poor. So ripping off all of that data collection off of India would be similar to ripping off the regulations and taxation and all that stuff, and they would their economy would roar. Hong Kong is an island. It's a rock. It doesn't grow anything. It doesn't produce things in that way. And yet it is so powerful, so successful. And it's all due to this man and his anti-data collection. And I think we should start to move that direction in the United States. If you think about all of the data that's collected on all of us, I have to send in information on my kids to the state when I hire them, so that they can make sure that they don't have any children who are not receiving,
benefits,
yeah, funds, like they don't have child support payments, okay. And stuff like this. There's so many data points and things that businesses collect and send in, and then we have the census and all the collection of data that entails. It's grown exponentially. And then they use all that data to start to control people and the economy, and they can't do it. And that's what grinds it all to a halt.
So ultimately, yes, that is, and I think you touched on this with all of this data collection, you have to comply.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't comply, then there could be penalties.
Massive.
For you as a business person. And so this will take us to Dr. Tom Kranewitter, and he's going to be on tomorrow. And he has made the case that we're not really a free society so much anymore. We've become a compliant society. And that grinds people to a halt. And that's through more the administrative state, these politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that have pushed rules and regulations. And I think Americans, you know, we generally want to play by the rules. We want to know what the rules are.
Yep.
And so we want to, quote unquote, be compliant. But sometimes I can see that can freeze you because you're afraid you might make a mistake.
Compliant and permission-based. And not only that, but the fallacy is you can never be compliant. If you go to a sales tax meeting, you'll find they'll be like, well, if you have a question, just call us. That's not clear and bright lines in terms of rules and what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to collect the sales tax and pay it. And that's common with all of these regulatory bodies. They're very capricious in the way they apply the rules and regulations. And it kind of depends on who you are.
Picking winners and losers.
Picking winners and losers, which is what this fellow talks about in this article. And that's exactly what all that data collection does. It allows the government to pick winners and losers. And everybody loses that way.
Except, well, you get to the haves and the have-nots then. So yeah. Like in India, you know, I think there's very poor, mm-hmm. and then there's very
caste
rich.
Caste system.
Yeah. Yes. And so what I'm thinking about, though, is in this day and age, I mean, there is so much data with our phones. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, there's a good part of data collection as well, you know, with all of the information that we have. But there's a big scary component of that. What do we do, though, now? You know, our young people are so dependent on their phones. I remember there was just recently this, it was some kind of face thing that you could get this app and it could make you look old or something. And
yeah.
It turned out it was from a company in Russia, and they were then, you know, had your image, and that they could use that someplace else. And then if we're talking about data mm-hmm. recognition, I mean, there's a whole bunch of danger here. What do we do about this, Susan?
And all that stuff can be manipulated to make it look like anybody, you know, put somebody in a video with their face and it made them look like they did something when they didn't. I mean, the dangers there are huge. And I saw the other day there was a huge security data breach. So with all this bio information, I don't know. We definitely need to stop the government from collecting all of that data. And there's another interesting phenomenon with this data collection, too. I see a lot of companies, big companies especially, using data to predict, to make payroll predictions and staffing. And so you might have a big company that has, say, copy service, and they've decided they're going to use this data to predict how many people they should have in a store on a particular day. Well, from my perspective as a customer, that actually is hurting them, because they can't see that there's something going on and they won't need as much staff, or maybe they will need more staff because, I don't know, maybe there's going to be a big protest downtown and people are producing more signs. So you still need that person that can look to see what's going on and just kind of, sometimes it's sort of intuition. I can tell when a certain movie is going to do more, so I can't use any sort of predictive data for staff. It takes a live person to figure out how much staff I'm going to need for that particular feature. So all that data collection still isn't as useful as people think it is.
And it actually can be used, I think, for nefarious purposes, ultimately. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't want to seem like I have a tin hat on, but I don't really trust the fact that the government and actually these big businesses are collecting more and more of this data and how that can be used. And first and foremost, though, is I guess businesses, technically, they've never really gone out and, really... killed a whole bunch of people like Germany did. I mean, government and
like
data.
Governments.
Yeah, and Germany was big on data.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept records about all of the things that they were doing.
Who your parents were and medical experiments, all kinds of sick things.
Which, you know what? I just thought of this. There was a woman that we had interviewed that she was a Holocaust survivor, and she was Catholic. And she was playing in the yard one day, and the Nazis came and knocked on her grandparents' door and said, "We're here for the Jews." And they're like, "We don't have any Jews here." And they had actually gone through that data and realized that I think it was like a great-grandmother had been Jewish, that they hadn't actually realized that. And so there is real danger in that. And Nazi stands for National Socialist German Workers' Party. It's important that people understand that. It was socialist.
Yes.
And so this whole romance with socialism, we need to push back on that narrative as well. And so data collection, it's with us, though. So what can we do? We've got just a few minutes left on this, Susan. So what should we do?
Well, I think bringing awareness to it is one thing, and certainly stopping the government from collecting it. I'm not so happy with some of the businesses that collect it. We see Google's been collecting it, and now they're trying to use it to influence our elections. And that whole thing has been broken wide open now. But I don't know how you pull all that back now. That's tough.
And so one of the things, though, when President Trump got into office, one of the first things that he did is he said, regarding new rules and regulations, for every new rule or regulation, we need to get rid of two. And I think that rules and regulations are very tied to data collection. And then we need to start to elect people that understand that government really, the role of government is to protect everyday people's their rights, their inalienable rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I have to tell you, I'm frustrated with the people that get elected on both sides of the aisle that don't seem to understand that. And, you know, I don't mean to be so totally self-righteous on that, because until I really went through Vino and Veritas, so we're going through the study of the Federalist Papers, which you, 88 Drive-In Theater, was the very first presenting sponsor, so
yes.
Thank you on that. What I'm learning from Dr. Kranewinter is I've always thought that the individual was important, and the founders thought that as well, but the American idea was to protect that person's rights to be able to go after life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It wasn't to equalize everything.
No.
It was to make sure that everybody was equal under the law, no matter what their descriptor is, man, woman, black, white, gay, straight, whatever. Everybody would be equal under the law, that there would be no special rights.
That's why Lady Justice is a blindfold. It doesn't matter what your position in society is, what you do, who you are, what your race is. The law is supposed to apply equally.
Okay, and so on data, a little story. I went in, this was a few years ago, for a regular doctor's appointment, and they had all these different questions, you know, sex and so race. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, I put down human.
Yeah.
They said, well, we're looking for something a little different, but okay, we'll go with that. I think that actually that didn't fit into any of the boxes that they were supposed to give on the data collection, but I thought
so
that
much
it was,
data collection.
I thought it was important that we're all part of this human race. We need to start to come together. And this data collection is dividing us. And ultimately, this last paragraph in the piece that you'd referenced, the author, and I think it's David Diga. He's an economist specializing in public policy and economic history. He said the vastly different experiences of Hong Kong and India remind us that less economic planning is better than more, and that having more data doesn't mean better policy making. And I know that that just really, you know, struck a chord with you.
No, the data can be wrong, too. We have all that facial recognition going on. And what was it? They took a certain number of legislators in a state and ran them through their facial recognition, and most of them came up falsely as a criminal.
Interesting.
Yeah, so bad, really bad outcomes, too, from all that data collection, especially when it's inaccurate.
Okay, so we need to push back on government on doing that, and then let's start to be a little more careful what we're putting out there as well. So, Susan, thank you so much. Great having you here, the owner of 88 Drive-In Theater.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. Albert Einstein, he said, unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.